Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, Steve speaking. Running Commentary's podcast editor. Who knew they had one? I thought I would gift to you a few highlights from the Running Commentary year that was 2019. In this special podcast, Paul's Inflamed Balls, A Mancunian Run, A Trip to New York, and finally the London Marathon, where the boys bravely ran and carried the heavy Runcom recording kit throughout the whole event and produced an epic episode. First, to Manchester.
Morning.
Guess where we are?
Manchester.
We're in Manny.
So, just before we started recording, me and Paul met in Manchester where he's here for the weekend. I'm on nearby in Clitheroe tonight and getting a plane from here to Barcelona tomorrow.
Oh, Clitheroe to Barcelona.
Right. This is really nice for me. Thanks for coming out, because I want to show you one of my regular runs.
That's great, mate. I like it.
So we're starting at the hotel appended to the Comedy Store. We're immediately getting down onto the canal.
This isn't a ruse just to throw me in the canal, is it?
Well,
that does happen a lot
here,
doesn't it?
It's been known in Manchester, hasn't it?
Yeah.
People do that, don't they?
Rumours abound. The canal pusher.
The canal pusher. We're at Tiblock. That's a bit of info for you. Like I knew that. I've just seen that on a sign.
Nice.
That's the first time I ever knew that. Across this bridge. Hey, you run in. Run across the bridge.
Okay,
and get you in action.
I can do that.
Here he goes. Oh, yeah. Look at him move. And we're going to head off along the canal out of town.
All right, brilliant.
Oh, sorry.
So what is the route then? What sort of...
We're going to go out of town along the canal to the past the Comedy Store and Dean's Gate.
Right.
And where they do the radio, Key 103.
Yeah.
And then we'll hop across at the Throstle Bridge from the canal to the River Irwell.
Right.
And thus to Salford Media City.
Oh, yeah.
And back again.
Okay, cool. Sounds
good. Quite near to Old Trafford.
Sounds good,
You know, so there's quite a lot of Manchester highlights.
Nice out and back.
Yeah. And it is, I do this one a lot, so it's nice to... I'm trying not to bore you with details.
No, it's fair enough. It's nice to give it
I'm often talking to you, the imaginary you in my head.
Bit of local flavour.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're here for the weekend to do comedy.
I'm doing the Manchester Comedy Store,
What's it like here in Manchester this weekend?
It was great, yeah. Thursday was really nice. We're going to run past the venue, actually, aren't we, on the other side of the road? Yeah. Yeah, it was a really nice crowd last night. Staying with a good old mate in Stretford. It's actually... I'm meeting up with some old mates I used to go to school with as well.
Oh, brilliant.
On Saturday after the lecture. Could be brilliant. It'll be a laugh. They're drinking from 3 p.m.
Ah.
And I'm joining them at 11.
Is it a stag do or just a reunion?
It's just a reunion of, like, lads I used to go to school with in Northallerton 30 years ago. So it's Ship and Si and Jez and Jock. Do you know, it's all people with sort of nicknames.
Yeah.
But it's a meeting of the single syllable names.
It's like something out of The Sopranos.
Yeah. A North Yorkshire version of The Sopranos.
They'll be meeting up with Yacht.
Yeah. They'll be smashed by the time I see them.
So that's the comedy store there.
So we're used to sitting in that dressing room, aren't we?
Yeah.
And having a look.
Sometimes coming out onto that little balcony there to avoid conversations.
Yeah. Of course, yeah. Or just avoid people who've just died horrendously on stage. Just give them a bit of space to come to terms with it. Yeah. Everyone was just moving around. There was no respect for the performers.
And after a couple of...
Deal with it.
Say, no, you did great, you did great. Okay, yeah. I've finished talking now. And also getting down on either side of the canal there, whether in the Comedy Store dressing room or on the towpath, on the weekend night, you're one floor down from serious party scene.
Oh, it's very, very busy.
It's Deansgate.
Yeah, really busy on Deansgate.
Just young people in nice clothes going...
Yeah, going crazy. Loving it. This is very nice, yeah.
So, nice little looking job. Good, nice form. What's your physical situation?
My physical situation, if I've sorted out my back...
Good.
Which is great.
That is good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Look how the wonk this Victorian bridge is. It's just a brilliant bit of
that's
engineering.
That's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah, that is gorgeous.
It's obtuse.
And now if the towpath's closed.
We want to go this way.
All right, okay.
So don't worry.
No, so that's good. I had it clicked. Old Ron gave it a good click in.
Yeah.
The hernia's ongoing. I need to sort that out. But yeah. I've been planking more than I used to.
What's your plank story?
I'm just going up by... Wait for it. 5 seconds a day.
Well, that's a good idea.
So I'm on 130 now.
And if you're doing it every day, that's a really good...
Yeah.
That's a good steady growth.
So that's what I'm doing, yeah.
Right.
Because you broke through a few plank barriers, haven't you?
I watched this step, yes. Now, I actually had an idea the other day.
Yeah.
An exercise idea.
Yeah.
Which is simultaneously realistic and ambitious.
Right.
And so I kind of instigated the quest... Immediately,
right.
But I won't be able to do it immediately, and it comes from. It's an exercise regime for someone who's coming from a point of fitness.
Right.
Do you want to hear what it is?
Yeah, go on. What have you done? What have you
been doing? Look where we are. Look at the red. Yeah. I don't know what that old mill is, but it goes from red rock to red brick.
Nice.
It's really good. Yeah. My new idea is 5 times 4 times 2.
Right.
And what that is 5 times 4 minutes of planking.
Right.
So I'm up to a 4-minute plank now, right?
Wow, yeah.
So I decided, and that's really interesting, because
that's good.
I was on 3.5, right?
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah. And I just realised, it doesn't really get any easier, right?
Right.
And some days you start really suffering.
Yeah, it's weird.
A minute
that,
out. Some days it's 2.5 minutes out. You know what I mean? Ultimately, it's all about holding on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of experts who say, don't do that. But as we talked about, it's the psychology of it. You know, it's the holding on is what I'm training for, really.
Yeah.
And in a weird kind of way, there's no difference between 3.5 and 4. Because it's all about... You're past the bit where you don't want to do it anymore anyway.
Yes, you're way beyond that. Yeah,
it's like the speech marks in the air, second half of a marathon,
right.
You know, that last 6 miles.
Yeah.
Where you're just hanging on.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
So you're extending that hanging on period, just hanging on for
long. Yeah, and it isn't, you know, there's no massive drop-off. There's no real difference in feeling between the 3.5 and the 4.
Right.
Because you're over the line anyway.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what I mean? Which probably means I probably shouldn't bother with the 4.
Right. But why not? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So 4 times 5, right? Sorry, 5 times 4 is to do that Monday to Friday.
Right, okay.
And I came up with this a week and a half ago. Did it 2 days last week to see if I could do it 2 days back to back.
Right.
And I've done it every day this week, except on Wednesday when I tried it without music. Disastrous.
So you need music.
2 minutes.
Yes. You need music. Yeah, you need something else to take you out.
Something to keep your mind off it.
Yeah, totally.
So that when you look at the clock for the first time.
Yeah, it's awful if there's nothing on the clock and you wait until you look at the clock for the first time and it's like 45 seconds or something.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, you're right, it can be very difficult very early on, can't it?
Yes, that's right.
Isn't that weird?
And also, interesting, because when we were out with Laura the other day, you're such a natural runner. That you don't have that early on with running.
Right.
There's a lot of us as runners.
Struggle early on.
Yeah, just have to get over that bump.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to keep on running.
Right.
You know, we're talking about the 5-minute line.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it's an early version of overriding the central governor that you kind of
that
did,
you don't want
did
to be,
in your infancy. You know?
That you don't want to be running at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why are you even bothering?
Yeah.
What's this about?
So 5 times 4... It's 20 minutes of planking in
during the week.
4 minute blocks.
Yeah.
Right? And then times two is the quest to do a 20 minute park run.
Right.
Which is times 4 minute kilometers.
Right, okay, yeah, okay.
There you go, see? And that is sounds my quest.
Your spring quest.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
It's not marathon training, but it can't hurt.
But it'll help a lot.
Yeah, it runs concurrently.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. That will help a lot, yeah. So it's fresh today, isn't it?
It's the first leggings day of the year
it's
for me.
Properly fresh, yeah.
I hardly ever wear these nightmares.
They're nice.
They're quite nice, actually. They're just extraordinarily feminine. They make my legs look really... Ladylike.
Lovely ladies' pins on parade.
Yeah. They look nice, you know.
Yeah.
I'm into it, but it's not necessarily... A look, I would choose.
So you've got a clean gig in Clitheroe.
Yeah, that's right.
Clean in Clitheroe.
That's good. They like it nice down there.
Yeah.
So
is it a church gig or such?
No, it's just a kind of rule of thumb. There's been some discussion, hasn't there, in comedy? Someone was moaning the other day because they got confirmed for a gig in Norfolk, and it had on the email no offensive jokes for some reason, no religious jokes.
Right, yeah.
And there was one comedian saying, you know, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But I want to do my anti-religious jokes.
Yes.
And I was like, well...
Just don't do the gig.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or find the balance, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes down to it, you've got to do the material you want to do in the context of what the venue wants, haven't you?
So yeah, it depends how much you want the money, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's another level, and this is completely separate to cultural tropes, which is if you say to a comedian, don't do this,
they'll really
want to do it.
Yeah, that's why we're comics, isn't it? So I'm wondering where we are. This is sort of... I think I might have lived around here.
Right.
When I worked in XFM, because they put me up in these really... weird sort of futuristic box-like flats by the river that no one wanted to live in.
Right.
I was sort of on my own in this really weird environment.
There's a lot of flats like this in Manchester, aren't there?
Yeah, because they thought it was going to be this big real estate explosion and loads of young professionals were going to live and work in them. When I was there, they were just sort of putting the lights on and off to kind of kid people that they were being inhabited, which made it even more strange.
Yeah, that is strange.
Yeah.
And it's the prime example. This is the spot where I developed my, you know, just realised that Victorian engineering makes a great running route.
Yeah.
And that is what Manchester's all about, and Birmingham.
Yeah.
And
like crisscrossing canals.
These kind of industrial revolution cities whose purpose and community have changed massively. And they just rejig it. Look at this. That kind of couple of old Victorian bridges running into each other. It's great.
So have you been doing much running this week then? We haven't seen each other.
Yeah.
We did our Lexi last week. She was good value, wasn't she?
Yeah, that was great.
She was good fun.
Really nice one to do at the beginning of the year because of the balance of running and comedy and life.
Yes. Just starting to get into running. Though I was slightly worried that we'd cause her an injury. She did have some sort of knee thing going on, didn't she?
Yeah, but she went out and bought shoes straight away as well.
Did she? Right, okay.
I don't know how good they are, but...
Right.
And also, I would never advise anyone to take our advice.
No.
But she did, and that's good. Also, Clissold Park, that's... you reminded me of something. Yeah. So I'm trying to stay on 25 miles-ish a week.
Right.
This month.
Yeah.
No... double figures runs, just lots of runs, you know.
Right, okay.
But what about your running every day?
Well, it's gone, mate. It's gone because of the just the back was just causing me too much pain to justify it.
All the press outside your house.
Yeah, well,
they've all gone home.
They're all camped there. They had to go. And day eight, it went. So
dear it,
it ends. The running streak endeth here. No is more that, running.
We've come up against that towpath problem where you think, oh, it's all so hippie-ish. People living in canal boats and reinterpreting the old ways. But, God, that wood smoke is tough.
Breathing. It is, yeah. It's basically running down the side of an oil slick, isn't it? At times.
Yeah. See how?
So coming back into town.
This old mill.
Yeah.
Next to the canal and the railway, and that's where the radio is now.
Yeah. Very nice.
This is great. Goes.
And this is where people are starting to live now on the canal. We've got the little alternative living section here.
Yeah. Bit of wood smoke. Yeah. Yeah. Shut the line, just gone a man, and I'm hungry like the wolf.
The wolf! The wolf! These are the restaurants where I used to. Because one thing I did do at Manchester, I was earning a decent whack for that time.
Yeah.
Just spent all my money on meals. Just because there were so many nice restaurants.
Yeah, right.
Just really well spent, you know, just blew it all. Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah.
Just go home and save your money.
Should have saved.
Cook yourself a Papa's Bolognese.
Yeah. I was up here for a couple of weeks, years ago, doing the kind of, you know, second channel coverage of Soap Star Superstar.
All right, yeah.
I did a little sub thing, VT daily thing, where I was showing what it is to become a pop star.
Right.
So I got an entourage.
Nice, yeah.
Made up a song.
Yeah.
Got a top end car.
Yeah.
But I also had to interview all the soap stars.
Right.
And due to
one producer's idea,
yeah. I had to do it carrying a massive ear, and they had to talk into it.
Oh.
And of course, we didn't really have access, so very quickly got to a situation where when the soap stars saw me and my massive ear,
just chipped
they'd
off.
Hide.
Before you know it, you're a grown man chasing soap stars.
Yeah.
With a massive ear, yeah.
Yeah. Staying in a very nice hotel with Michael Ball and Martine McCutcheon, but painfully aware that they only wanted to be friends with me up to a very limited point.
Yes, of course, yeah. Not really of their world.
And then it's up to the room to bellow, "What am I doing here? Yeah.
Get me out. I'm not a celebrity. Get me out of here now."
Great days. Best moment than that was Gemma Atkinson pretending to vomit into the ear and saying, "I shouldn't have had that Cumberland ring."
Ooh, up the steps.
Going up again. Remember that lost step. Because the trouble with it is, not that it's gone, it's that it's a different height. It really throws you off.
Yes, yeah, it does, yeah.
What's that? Ooh.
Can I turn your attention to the irregular step descending down the canal? Constitutes a safety hazard.
That voice you're doing there, it's me.
No, it's...
No, forget it. No, I got it. It's okay. Oh. Not offended. Whoa!
So we're zigzagging down to the last bit now. Back to the Jury's Inn, where most comics stay when they're staying in Manchester.
Yeah.
And you thought I was staying, but I'm not. I'm staying with
them. Yeah, which is why I had to change in the toilets there. So that was
not superstitious at all.
Did you cross your fingers?
Yeah.
Well, these aren't steps. It's a slope. So it's okay. Oh, yeah, back past the Comedy Store and Pop World.
Do you think that was her?
Revolution.
Do you think that was a serial?
Do you think that was the
serial canal pusher?
The
very demure, smiley, gentle-looking woman.
Yeah, but she was...
That's how they do it, though, isn't it?
This is a fenced bit.
Deep undercover. Yeah. Timidity. And then we're coming up past all the clubs there. El Diablo, Lalo.
Listen to this, I've got a gag for you here. I should have known that if I got you down by the canal here in Manchester, you'd be looking for the pusher.
Yeah,
you see what I did?
Like it.
Wordplay.
Right. Oh, we're lost. Ooh. No, we're not. Had a great night out. Let's keep it that way. Don't walk by the canal at home. Look, Rob.
Okay. Very important not to fall in the canal.
Don't walk by the canal alone. Go home with friends. Because...
Danger
by the canal.
Yes.
Danger.
I think I feel like what you're working towards is a preventative push.
Right.
Where the person coming the other way might be the pusher.
Yeah.
So you push them in.
Yeah, just in case.
Just to be safe.
Yeah. Sorry, mate, I thought you were the guy.
Yeah. Push. It's a preemptive. A citizen's push in.
Yeah.
So on a number of occasions, and you know, if I'm honest, never truly happily, I've done this run we've just done now.
Yeah.
And carried on here up to Oxford Road and turned right.
Yeah.
Down to Platfields Park Run.
Oh, Platfields.
Yeah.
What, done all this and then gone onto the park run?
Yeah.
That's a tough workout.
That's about 2.5 miles from here.
So you've done about 9.5. Yeah, wow. That's a tough old run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The most decisive I ever was when I got back to here and I needed to drop the kids off.
Went into the hotel. Yeah.
And still came. Oh, no, look at this. Sorry. This is the old Hacienda. We forgot about that.
Oh, mate.
All that Manchester history. This building behind the hotel.
Manny, Jesus, Mary Jane, Dave Aslam, Temperance, Club Nights.
They got the history of the Hacienda all down it.
Zumba!
He's reading it. He's living it. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, mate. Oh, what a night.
Oh, what a night. Late
September 1988.
Bernhard Manning, is that a mistake? Or that
Didn't he open it? The Hacienda Bernhard Manning.
He didn't have an H in his name.
No. Bernhard, I don't think he did.
No, that's a very unfortunate misprint when someone's cut it in a hole.
Or deliberate. Or deliberate.
You need a lot of Tippex to block that out.
Or deliberate, what do you reckon? Just taking the mickey.
Well, why don't we just say it's deliberate? It's there's no changing it now.
No. That's a nice bit of history at the end.
Yeah.
What's this Charlie's Code? If you go up together, stay together. Keep safe on your night out.
I think Charlie might have fallen in the canal and died.
Don't let your night out and don't attempt to swim. There's a lot of safety advice around the canal.
There's a basic sense that putting all these drinking establishments next to the canal,
it might not be a good thing.
Danger.
Yeah.
It's good that
I get that.
It's nice to be reminded. It's
a bit of bravado before you know you're jumping in the canal for a laugh.
Absolutely.
And then it's not a laugh anymore.
No. And then the fun was gone.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get a picture of this. I just realised that "and then the fun was gone" is a quote from Curious George, the monkey. He accidentally turns on a dump truck like the one we saw earlier and puts all the rubble into a pond in New York. and then the fun was gone.
From Manchester to a small problem, well, quite big if you look at it from Paul's angle, here is the story of Paul's balls.
I awoke on the third day to a huge constipation.
Right.
A massive...
log jam.
Yeah, just massive feeling of pressure, and I was immediately launched into the laxatives on offer, which only increased the pressure, and my belly was like a teak barrel. I was sort of wandering. It was like I was about to give birth. I needed gas and air.
Yeah,
I was sort of heavily breathing, and the pain was just huge. It was incredible. Yeah, I am severely bloated, and in massive. And it's and also because of that area where the surgery is, mm-hmm. going to the toilet itself is painful.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing was extremely painful. Yeah.
I mean, it's nice to think of this in the King George style. We're picturing this, it's a bit
like... I was crying. I was whimpering with the pain of it.
Yeah.
It was like... I was like that. honestly, I was wandering around the toilet. It was awful.
That's not good.
I had to send
I need a picture of you. do the noise again, and I'll take a picture as it's happening. Wait. This is it. This act.
I was like that. Honestly, it was pathetic.
There is a tiny subtext of you amused by it as it was happening.
You know, I was, but it was simultaneously pathetic. I sent Rachel out, and I administered an enema.
Hmm.
Which solved the problem.
Well, with friends like that.
With enemas. Keep your friends close and your enemas closer. And my goodness, the relief. And since then, I've decided to stop taking their painkillers.
Yes,
because the pain of that is worse than any pain I've been feeling.
Yeah.
So I've been in pain since then, but my system has been working. Blessed relief.
Just a little blessed note relief. To say we've got onto the Parkland Walk. And of course, we're normally here on a rainy Wednesday morning or whatever. Yeah. It's a sunny Sunday. And my goodness, it's like an advert for the Parkland Walk.
It's absolutely gorgeous.
The dogs, the bikes, the people.
It's really beautiful. I know you're trying to raise your tone for a second, but one moment I realised when I was in the stage that only added to my discomfort was my testicles have become purple.
Mm.
Completely purple.
Yeah.
Like a bright purple.
Yeah, right, okay. I'm trying to think of anything purple like that.
And all like plums.
It's funny
just
enough.
Like
hanging, plums.
Just hanging plums.
Like bruising, essentially. Yeah, like someone had really clocked them.
Just bruising. I mean, that just added to my sense of trauma at the situation. Like the sense of ground zero. Yeah. But since then, since the enema, since I administered that on my own whilst lying sideways on the bathroom, like sort of giving birth to myself.
The funny thing is,
it's been a lot better.
As you tell the story, I think the listeners will be on the same page as me, that we gradually go from feeling sorry for you to feeling sorry for ourselves. Just hearing about it.
Still to come, a trip to New York, and finally, the London Marathon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Off to New York with Paul flying solo, but he has brought a friend with him.
Have you run in New York before?
No, I haven't, no.
Oh, good. You're about to get a treat. We'll run in Central Park.
Oh, no, that'll be great. Yeah. That'll be fantastic.
It's like one of the great runs in America.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, yeah. Cool. Welcome to Running Commentary. I'm here with Matthew Futterman. Is that correct pronunciation?
That's it. Matthew okay. Futterman. Call me Matt. Everybody calls me Matt.
I'll call him Matt, author of Running to the Edge. We're going to talk about running, about his book, his journey in running. And I'm just overwhelmed to be in New York. I'm crazy about this place. I absolutely love it. I was so stupid. Should we start?
Yeah, sure. Let's go. We're going to go north on 6th Avenue.
Brilliant. I ended up taking a taxi, which took me ages. Of course, I should have gone on the subway, but
yes.
It was so wet when I set off.
Yes.
And we've met at an athletic centre, right in the middle, isn't it? Is that your place?
Yeah,
that's where
I go. I work about 10 blocks from here.
Right.
So,
okay.
I'll go for a run in the morning and ride my bike.
Right.
To
okay.
work, shower there, and get on my way.
Because you work in the New York Times.
I work in the New York Times building.
Fantastic.
Yeah, which is about 10 blocks away from
How
here.
Long have you been working there?
I've been working there since November 2017.
Right, okay.
And we're going to go this way, left.
So, a while, but not too long.
Yeah, not too long.
Are you secure there? Is it going well?
It's going pretty well. I hope
good,
so.
Good,
we'll
good.
See. Good, I was... Good. I was at the Wall Street Journal for about 10 years.
Right, okay.
And, I was the senior sports writer there.
Brilliant. Amazing.
And that was awesome. That was really the only job I ever wanted.
Right.
Years ago, I wanted to write books and things like that, but
yeah.
I also wanted to, traditionally the Wall Street Journal had one sports writer.
Right.
And that was the job I always wanted. And in 2008, lo and behold, somebody gave it to me.
There's something about American sports writing. I don't know whether it's because I'm not American, but they seem to take it a bit more seriously than the English do. There's a tradition of great writing about American sports. Agree, disagree. What do you reckon?
Well, there's that cliche, which, you know, is sometimes true with the, you know, in the American, the English sports writer that the English guy can't write his way out of a paper bag and the American and the American wouldn't know a story if it hit him on the head.
Right, okay, cool.
And... Yeah, you know, I've always been amazed. I've done a lot of international sports writing.
Right.
And so I've been with a lot of British writers over the years.
Right.
Martin Rogers, one of my best friends.
Right.
And he's over here now. But, you know, I've always been amazed how And I've been in some of these interviews with these guys, and I'll come out of the interview thinking, oh, that wasn't anything, nothing going on there. And
they've got something.
And they come out, and they write these incredible leads.
Oops.
About, you know, I just have completely, like, wow, that was a big deal.
Yes, yeah.
You know, stuff with football.
So they've got a nose. They've got a nose for it.
They just got a great nose for it.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? The verb they use in that first sentence is always very powerful.
Right, okay.
It's either like insisted or demolished or it's a very strong word. And so, you know, I guess the American
sports writers they're in a culture that has valued the long form a bit more in terms of like American magazine writing and stuff. I've read a lot of sports magazines.
Yes.
And that's valued more, so you can take a bit more. You've got a bit more time, haven't you?
Yeah, maybe. A little bit.
I'm not suggesting you're having papers, but in sort of.
Right. There's some, you know, Sports Illustrated for years had this tradition. And even now, you know, online, digitally, which is the way most of the people read our stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I think what we find is that when we really lean into the story, and we give people, you know, we give people some real meat.
Yes.
You know, we know exactly how many people read the story and how much time they spend on it.
Yeah.
You really see if you give them something like that, they really take to it.
They like it. Yeah, there's a thirst for it.
There's no question.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're approaching Central Park now.
Yeah, so we're going to carefully get across Central Park South. Do a little jaywalking here.
Nice.
Beat you, New Yorkers.
What's the system? Is that what we've done technically illegal? I'm trying to work it out. I don't quite know what to do when I'm crossing the roads here. Do I have to wait?
You don't have to wait.
Right, okay.
You definitely don't have to wait if nobody's there.
Right.
And if somebody's there, then you just sort of take your life into your own hands.
Let me just mush my shoe up.
Okay.
You seem in good shape, you know. You've got your legs look good.
I'm okay.
Yeah, they seem really trim.
Yeah, it's pretty trim. I'm sort of always in.
Are you training for anything in particular?
Yeah, I'm going to run a couple marathons this fall. So I'm going to run Chicago and New York.
Nice.
I've never done Chicago before.
I've heard good things about Chicago.
Yeah, nice and flat.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully fast.
Yes.
So, it's a good. That'll hopefully be a good race.
Are you aiming for anything in particular, or age are you at, Matt? Come on.
I am going to be 50 in a month.
Yeah, well, I'm 50 in about a week.
Yeah, oh, good for you. So we're same age. Yeah, so, I just keep trying to qualify for Boston.
Right, okay.
I've been pretty...
And what do you need to do to qualify for Boston this year?
Well, the form says is 325.
Right, okay.
But, you know, we'll see how much lower you have to be.
Yes.
Because, you know, it's a...
They keep changing... Is it like London? They keep making it harder...
Well, they did
for the men to get in.
Yes, they made it a little. They did make it a little harder.
Right.
But in addition to that, you know, they have more applicants than they have spots.
Right.
And so, what they've made it is it's you know, they let people
careful,
in.
Careful.
Yeah, he's fine. They let people in. I'm going the running lane here.
Cool.
They let people in fastest to slowest.
Right.
So last year. And they actually lowered the time last year because what you had to do was you actually ended up having to be 4 minutes and 52 seconds faster than the qualifying standard.
That's a bit sharp.
So a lot
isn't
of people
it?
Got left out.
Yeah. That is sharp. And does it have to be at one of the sort of major races to get accredited?
No, it just has to be what's called a. Certified.
Right, okay, yeah.
Boston certified qualifier.
Right.
And most of them are certified.
Right.
So, yeah, but it's a, so that's my goal. I just like trying to do that.
Because I mean, I love the book.
Thank you.
But I like the way you bring in yourself as well, your own journey to it, qualifying for Boston, hitting the wall and... Walking.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? These moments.
It was a 25-year overnight success story.
Yeah.
I think I still believe that I'm going to be able to do another PR one of these days. Right day, right race, right weather.
I know it's...
And
it's tricky, though, isn't it, that sort of negotiation with time as you get older?
Right. But my theory is that if I can keep getting faster, then that means I'm not getting older.
Yes.
Which is ridiculous,
of course. Yeah, we know this is
true. We know we're getting older. It's impossible. But
do you not find your body slightly less able to withstand tough training?
I definitely struggle a bit with, you know, the recovery.
Yes.
The recovery is from the hard workouts.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, when I got to know Meb Keflezighi pretty well.
Yes.
During the writing of this book, because it's essentially about his coach.
Yes, Bob Larson. Yes.
And, you know, when Meb was getting towards the later stages in his career, his workout schedule, his days were basically hard, easy, easy, hard, easy, easy.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
That's a pretty good plan.
It is, yeah. You've got your, it's as opposed to when you're a kid.
You just go hard every day.
Oh, you could go hard Monday, Wednesday, race Saturday, long run Sunday.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to just be a bit more conscious of it, haven't you?
Yeah.
And maybe a bit of cross training as well, which I've always hated, but I realise I have to start planking and core
stuff. Do strength workout.
Yeah.
And I do a fair amount of hot yoga.
All right, okay.
Which
my wife would love you. She loves hot yoga.
I find that to be just a really good balance.
Right.
With the running. Sometimes I even do it after a good long run.
Good for you.
You know, it's super hard.
Good for
you. And you sleep very well that night.
Right.
But it really sort of eases your body. Now, not everybody feels that way.
Yeah.
The coach Ben Rosario, he has he runs the Northern Arizona elite team in Flagstaff.
Right.
Which is some good runners these days, some national champions. And his feeling is that muscles are like rubber bands.
Right.
And and runners really need them sort of responsive. And then if you stretch them too much,
they kind of stretch themselves out.
Yes,
I've heard that theory, yeah.
So,
I realise I've got to stretch a bit before I run.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Get my back going, you know.
Right.
So talk us through the genesis of the book, then, because it's about Bob Larson, but what I liked about it is it kind of evokes the intensity of college running. And is it the Yamal Toads? How do you
The Hamel Toads, yeah.
The Hamel Toads, yeah. This kind of maverick collection of runners who congregated. It was like the Magnificent Seven getting together to me, wasn't it? Do you know what I mean? It was like, what was the source of the fascination with it, of that particular period?
Well, there was a couple of different things at work.
Right.
The first is that, you know, I always wanted to write a running book, but I didn't want to write solely about myself. You see a lot of sort of running memoirs out there.
Yes, yeah.
And my running story is, you know, it's interesting to me, but I didn't think it would be that interesting to the general populace.
Yes.
I should note, we're running the opposite way of the New York Marathon.
All right, okay.
Cool. This is like mile 24.
Right.
But we'd be coming the other way.
Okay.
Up this hill. This is you always hear about...
Bit of a drag just before the end.
Yeah, you always hear about the hills of Central Park.
Right.
This is what they're talking about.
Right, okay.
It's funny, they're not that big.
No.
But mile 24 or 25,
they
feel them.
Big. Yeah, of course.
They feel big.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was always looking around for the right story. And I knew Bob as Meb's coach.
Yes.
And I've been talking to him for a while. And then I got invited to a documentary film about him. And I had no idea he had this backstory and that he had started out in really the early days of the American running boom.
Yes.
And
which would be about what period? Sort of
late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Running boom's really the 70s. But he was studying this stuff before. And his lab rats, he was thinking really hard about how people could run really far, really fast.
Yeah.
He was just obsessed with it at a time when no one was obsessed with this stuff. And
because it was still quite fringy to be running at all.
Yeah, completely.
Really, yes.
I mean, and there was this picture of this team, this Hummel Toads, and there's this ragtag group. I kind of look like a bunch of hippies. They look sort of like the Doobie Brothers or the Band or one of those, those classic rock groups from the era. And
they're based around San Diego.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I just looked at that picture of them and I thought, oh, I got to get to know those
this
guys.
This is interesting. Yes.
Who are those guys?
Yeah.
Because I really feel like, I felt like whatever running book I wrote, I wanted it to capture that sort of rebellious spirit that I think has always been at the heart of this sport. You mentioned before that it was a really very fringe activity.
Yes.
And it really was. There was nothing more countercultural that you could do than go and run 20 miles on a Saturday morning.
I suppose because everyone was like tuning in, dropping out, rebelling in a different way. But
not only that, but even the conventional wisdom in the medical community was, you know, if you were to strain your heart after the age of 35, you were to risk a catastrophic cardiac event.
Right.
And which is so ridiculous when we think about it, especially because this was not very long ago.
Yeah.
Now, this was like yesterday. It's like in our lifetimes.
Although you had James Fix, who did unfortunately die with a heart attack, which didn't help things, did it? That was a bit later.
That's 10 years later.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're sending people to the moon.
Yeah.
The Russians have a cell phone. There's the age of modernity has dawned.
Yes.
And yet, we don't understand that the heart is a muscle.
Yes.
Like anything else. And that
it's
if
still stuck in the 20s sort of thing.
Yeah, and then if you train it, it'll get stronger.
Yeah.
For the most part, unless you have, you know, a genetic defect or something. So, that's what Bob is fascinated with. And he starts pushing this idea of threshold running.
Yeah.
What we now call tempo runs. And he got to it because he would do these experiments on these runners, that group of hippies, where he would send them out for longer and longer periods.
Yeah.
Running at their threshold.
Which is it's the hardest type of training, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Whenever you do it on, I mean, I find those almost impossible to do on my own.
Yeah.
And even in company, I find it very hard.
I would say it's almost more psychologically hard than physically hard.
Yes, yeah.
You know, because you have to do, you're going to the spot that you're afraid of.
Yes. And trying to stay there.
And trying to stay there. Yeah. And but that's really the way to be elite, be the elite of the elite.
Yeah,
that's how he takes this group of runners, and they sort of come out of nowhere. And they win the 1976 National Cross Country Championships, back when that's the biggest race outside of the Boston Marathon.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's wonderful the way you weave that in of the athletes coming together, Ed Mendoza.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The guys coming back, because they go away and then they come back, don't they?
Right.
To various different clubs.
And what really clinched it for me to know that I think I had a good book here was, or at least good material, was I started calling these guys, and I started asking them a very simple question, which is, why did you run?
Right.
And, you know, not one of them had the sort of boring answer of, well, I don't know, I was good at it, and figured why not, and won a lot, and that's it. I never really thought about it. They all had very, very powerful reasons.
Right.
You know, emotional reasons for why they ran. You mentioned Ed Mendoza. He's this tiny little guy growing up, terrible athlete. His little sister used to get picked for games in the park before he did.
Right.
And then he gets to high school and he runs in fitness class, and the teacher tells him he's really fast. Says you should do track and field. And he says, what's track and field? But he starts going out for practice and training, and he realizes he is faster than just about anybody.
The breakthrough moment, yes.
And and suddenly he thinks his body has a purpose.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very powerful thing for his self-esteem.
Yes. And that's also applicable to recreational runners, isn't it?
Absolutely.
They realize it's something, that's a great thing about running. You can do it on whatever level you're at.
Right.
And it can be a very powerful meaning for you.
It's the Metropolitan Museum of
Life. Nice.
So,
same with thresholds. It's like, they'll help any runner if you can do them.
Yes.
At any level.
Right.
There's nothing more inspiring than reading about young people doing loads of intense threshold runs, but there's nothing harder than slightly older people doing it.
Right, exactly.
But it would be useful if we could, you know.
Right. I mean, it's a learned behavior.
Right.
In any walk of life to
yeah.
do the thing
that
makes you uncomfortable.
Yes.
And to do and to really learn how to be comfortable with yeah. being uncomfortable.
Yes. Which is what marathon running is, isn't it? That's the root of decent performance, or even performances. Running fastish when tired, when really tired, isn't it? You're training your body to get that default setting.
Right. One of the toads said his son was a competitive runner.
Yeah.
And he said he used to say to him, "I know it hurts, but you just have to go a little faster."
And yes.
It sounds abusive.
Yeah.
But you know, anyone yeah. who's been in a race.
Yes.
And whether you're racing in your age group and you know,
yes,
just trying
yeah.
to complete a 5K in 26 minutes or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're trying to beat the guy or the woman next to you, or whether you're, you know, on the Olympic track in the final of the 5,000.
Feel tired, run faster.
That's sort of what it is.
Yeah.
It hurts like hell.
Yeah.
But you just have to try and go a little faster. Now, having said that, you know, if you're a runner and you just want to get over the finish line and you just enjoy the activity, that's great.
Of course.
Who yeah. cares?
Yeah,
right?
yeah, totally.
These are just little games we play with
yeah,
ourselves.
Yeah, but it's just nice to read about a collection of guys doing it together and inspiring each other, isn't it? Because that's what clubs do. That's what I realised when I moved. I joined a club a few years ago to try and get faster in the marathon. And I just got so much out of a club environment. Tempo runs and long intervals. Because you're together. You're stronger together, aren't you?
Well, it's very counterintuitive, I think. Because we think of running as a very individual pursuit.
Yes.
And for a long time, the individuality is really what was glamorized. Now, there's that famous book, The Loneliness of the Long-Distance Runner.
Yes.
And so that was sort of the image that was put out there, you know, sort of guy training alone or woman training
yes.
alone in the woods.
The nobility of solitude kind of thing.
Right.
So, yeah.
But one of the real tenets of Bob Larson, one of the things that really sort of revolutionized and led to the renaissance of American distance running was, you know, we train as, we run as individuals, but we run as a team.
Yes.
Because the group is just so much more powerful than the individual.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as, you know, if you're meeting your buddy for a run at 6 in the morning on a Tuesday and it's 40 degrees and raining,
you're more likely to
You're going to be
go.
There. yeah, if, you, yeah. if you're not to meet yeah. anybody, you might go back to sleep.
Yes.
And so it's as simple as that, or it can also be, you know, you're training with a pack and doing those threshold runs, and you're slacking off that day. You just don't feel strong, but you're going to work really hard to keep up with the
just
group.
Just to stay with them, yes. Yeah,
and
yeah.
then tomorrow, you're going to feel strong, and somebody else in the group
yeah.
is going to be having a not great day, and he'll try and keep up with you, or she'll try and keep up with you. And so it's a real, it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
And now you've done the great run in New York. We're just about at the
oh, it's lovely.
At the loop here.
Oh, it's absolutely lovely, yeah.
From New York to London, and here is a brief taste of the 2019 London Marathon.
It's about 10 minutes to the start.
Just milling round the start.
Is it odd time now because it's gone 10, but we haven't started yet?
A couple of minutes before the start. We just see Mo Farah warming up.
As a man dressed as an Aston Martin.
He looks fairly chipper, doesn't he?
Morning, running commentary. We are about to run the London Marathon. It is a bit cold. It's nice, but it's nippy.
Yes.
It's not that windy, though. It was raining in the night. Stormy yesterday.
Yes. It's fresh, isn't it? A massive contrast to last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you've never experienced this crazy new start.
Yeah.
This is a hospitality celebrity start. So right. We can see Gabby Logan out there.
Is that where we need to be? Is that where they're going to
take us? Yeah, let's go over there.
Right, okay, they're going to take us over.
Well, we haven't started yet. You don't have to pay any attention to us. You'll notice we're not even breathing.
No, they're going to filter us through. Ooh, sorry, Liv. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. That's Paul wishing Emily Maresmo good luck.
Brush shoulders with... was that Judy Murray? Hello, mate.
No, that's a bloke.
No, that was Judy Murray.
Was it? I was...
No, we've been staring at Andy for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, Paul wouldn't let me ask him for a selfie. But it's very inspiring just to be near Murray.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
With this encouraging... you can do the voice and it's just over there. No, it's not appropriate to do any Murray voice.
I thought he was running then. I'd been amazed if he'd been running with his old hip.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that's the point.
Those old hip injuries.
But no, he's here for Emily, which just goes to show what a great coach he is.
Yeah.
There he goes, he's gone.
Is that his coach then? I'm confused. That's his coach.
He coaches her.
Right, okay.
Here he is.
Presumptuous.
Ed Gamble, yeah. Ed Gamble on my mic. That's Ed Gamble and Emily Maresmo. Oh, it's cold now, isn't it? I think 2.5 in this temperature. I'm running, why am I running? Between the hedges along the red carpet they put out for you, Paul. Which is nice.
All right, so there's the... let's go.
There we go, have fun.
Let's filter in. Come on.
Okay. Whoa! It's exciting, isn't it?
Here we go. Here we go.
2019, we're London Marathon!
Press. There we go.
That's us going over the mats.
We're off. And we're starting.
This is it.
Yeah, we're off.
It's too exciting. I can't hear you. This podcast thing's not going to work.
Yeah.
Ah, it's good to start, isn't it?
This is fun.
That
way.
There goes the Parkinson's guy. Go on, Parkinson's. So we've obviously been hanging around in the VIP tent just getting more and more edgy and going to the toilet.
Waiting to go.
Incredible numbers of times, haven't we?
Yes. I still feel there might be a development in that area. I'm not going to focus on it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not going
to... Well, remember, you don't have to do it in 2:59, so you're actually allowed to stop and go into a... You don't have to just stop and drop.
No.
Remember that, Paul, please. Ah, already great. Is his support helicopter overhead. This is the first time I've ever done this bit without music.
Right. There's Heathside.
Someone from Heathside?
Yeah.
Do you know him?
It's hard to recognise him from here.
Now, I've got no idea what pace they're doing, but of course...
We're going a bit too fast.
These are all the very fast runners, so he's up.
Yeah, these are the...
Slow down already.
Club runners.
Let's not spend any energy.
Oh, we're going at about 8:10 pace, so that's
okay,
all right.
Okay, that's not... So, it's the very beginning of the London Virgin Money London Marathon 2019, and it's...
Lots of
cheering. Cold.
Yeah. It's fairly free. It's really good conditions for running.
It's perfect, isn't it? There's no sun, but it's mild.
Yeah.
There's no rain, no wind, and it's nippy.
Yeah.
So it couldn't be better, really.
That's perfect.
Although right now, I'm kind of freezing. We're wearing... What did you go for? I've got these kind of cycle shorts with shorts over the top, so you don't have to see my lycra-ness.
Right.
But they're nice and bodycon. We've got high-end running tops for New Balance.
Oh, very
emblazoned
high-end.
With their own faces.
We're merched up this morning.
But no one's noticing that because we're also wearing two microphones on our face each.
Looking
which is crazy.
Looking more ridiculous. All right, mate. Good luck.
Who was that?
Some bloke.
Nice.
Some bloke who gave us a thumbs up.
Checked in with Nell on the start line.
She's so sweet, isn't she, Nell?
She's lovely. Yeah, really nice.
Real sweetheart.
And Ed Gamble. He's also a lovely bloke. He's only over there, actually.
Is he?
That's it. I can still see Ed
Neil's nearing the finish line now.
And I got confused about Judy Murray. I got really confused.
Well, you said
I thought there's Andy Murray with Judy Murray.
Yeah, and it was just Andy Murray with some bloke, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Harsh on Judy. She is a Strictly fan. I never would have. Ah, mind the wire. Is it any important? Yeah, good.
There goes the recording. What happened?
Yeah, he kind of tugged on the wire at
right,
the back
okay.
there, so that's probably the end of it. I'm going to have to. But we'll have to pull up.
Yeah, go on then, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Come up to the side. It's all right. Pull over to the side and have a look.
Let's do this. Hold this.
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, we got that far.
Yeah.
And these guys are from France.
Hump. So some people are wearing headphones. Are you allowed to wear headphones?
Yeah, totally.
Are you? I didn't realise.
Yeah, it's only snarky, miserable runs where you're not allowed to wear headphones.
Oh, okay.
Generally, they just say, make sure you can hear the stewards.
Right, okay.
Which I think is much more reasonable.
Yeah.
But then every now and again, I enter a run, and they say, we find it's much safer.
Right.
No one wears headphones.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and I find it's much rubbisher. Unless I've got Paul with me.
I don't like it.
Hump.
So bored already, aren't they?
Hump. That guy's got the hump.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. I'm going to have to up the quality of the comedy if we're going to be talking for 4 hours.
It's funny, some
okay,
people.
This shirt is good. Back of his shirt says
yes.
GAY Foundation. Hashtag sponsor me, bitches. And then, half two this morning, someone went past my house on a very noisy motorbike.
Revving up.
Yeah, I think it was Evel Knievel. It could have been Eddie Kidd. Anyway, I woke up. I was awake for about an hour.
Heard just quite anxiety,
a heavy storm coming.
Yeah.
And then my wife had a coughing fit and she felt really bad. She's going, I've woken you up. I was like, I was already awake. And she's going, I'm trying not to cough. It's pretty dramatic. Back at Deering Towers at 2:15 in the morning.
But other than that, not too worrisome.
No.
A start to the...
No, I did some gigs. I think that, from our point of view, there's a balance, isn't there? You need to rest, but if you didn't do any gigs in the week, you'd just be freaking out.
Yeah, you could do. You could do, yeah.
I think one night off is enough.
I'll grab a bit of water.
Maybe two, three, four. Just going for water.
Cheers, love.
I didn't see that water station coming, so I'm in everyone's way. Yeah. There we go.
Bit of book sense.
We must be coming to the end of single-use plastic bottles. They're still using them this year. I think there was a plan not to, but they didn't do it.
Yeah.
They've done a lot of other things differently, haven't they? That you don't have to print out your letter.
Right.
They don't give you loads of paper freebies at the expo.
Right. I noticed a bit more paraphernalia generally, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 4 miles, 35 minutes.
Yeah.
There goes Phil. Go on, Phil!
Phil's tooled up.
Yep.
Phil's flags.
Dilly boppers.
Yeah.
Gels. Yeah. Unicycle. He's not really on a unicycle, that was a joke. Yeah. Oh, that man. You can see him as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant. There's a man wearing only shorts.
Yeah.
And he is purple all over.
Head to toe purple. Nice. Looking fit and strong like some.
Yeah. He must
superhero.
Be cold.
Yeah.
He must be cold. He hasn't thought that through.
It just started to rain.
Yeah.
Bit of wind. Oh my god! Oh my god, she's crossing the road!
What are you
she's
doing?
Crossing the road.
What are you doing?
Oh my god! kids, babies falling, kids, people crossing the
road.
What,
cheeky road crossers. You rarely see them, and she did it just then, but in Berlin, there's a lot of that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Few people don't know how close they came to a Deering pushover.
Right.
Get out of the way!
Yeah.
Which is not the attitude, is it?
No. Totally, this is where
should
I get
into. Should you pop into Pepe's Poo Poo?
Yeah, that'd be nice, yeah.
I'd like to pop into Pepe's Poo. Pop in.
Hey, up.
Oh. Whoops!
So it's about this time where you feel... You're feeling a bit of flow, aren't you, when you're running? Yeah. You sort of warmed up a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is space, isn't there? I mean, it's crowded, but there's space.
Yeah. So it would be awful if it was all the time.
Yeah.
Also, I think we're lucky the pace we run at, there's quite a broad spectrum of pace that you can kind of fall in with.
Right.
You know? Whereas I think if you're kind of running, but running slow, and you're in the run-walk era,
yeah.
Then it's probably...
That can get a bit
there's
tricky.
A lot more in the shakedown, you know?
Yeah.
We're all running at different paces, but everyone here is running, which makes the thing flow very smoothly.
Some people are coming through, yeah.
There's equally, of course, this is London Marathon. There'll be people running and walking, people walking all the way.
Yeah.
And that's good too.
Yeah. I'm enjoying my little scuttle. Not feeling tired. It's one of those that... You get more tired the longer it goes on, don't you?
What's that?
Well, you get more tired the longer it goes on.
No, I don't understand.
With this one.
You're like a doctor.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. But it's good to get to it and know it.
It's good to get to halfway.
Get to it and see how we feel, you know.
Yeah.
I think what you said earlier on is true and worth remembering is that you're kind of training for it while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Do you know, years ago we ran with the tribe guys who'd run 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
And we said, how did you train for that? They said, well, we didn't bother because you knew we were going to run 1,000 miles. So, you know, what you got there is a 900-mile run with 100 miles training built in.
Yeah, we just set off.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Certainly, makes a lot of sense to someone who's too busy living the high life in the Middle East.
Yes, of course.
To train properly. The toilet's coming up, Paul. Do you need to go?
I think I'm going to be all right with this one. I think so.
Me too. I asked Paul if he wanted a wee.
Yeah.
And then he said no. And then you went for one, didn't you?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And I just felt like the urge. And I'm so hydrated.
Yeah.
But you still have to keep drinking. That's the thing.
Oh, absolutely. Because you're using it.
Yeah.
Who's got the comedy about that? Someone's got some really good... Oh, I think it's Tom Rigglesworth. He's got comedy about Muslim guys going on a big night out.
Yeah.
Drinking. Oh, I've just had... I've had too much water.
Yeah.
You're so hydrated, I just got to head home.
It was like that in Oman.
Yeah.
When we did gigs with the McIntyre, there was no booze at the venue.
Yeah.
And the queue for water was massive in the interval.
Yeah. It's like the 90s.
Yeah.
Boop.
Right, I was just got a little stitch. It's tricky, the stitch thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it can get very painful.
Yeah, but you wouldn't stop for a stitch, though, would you?
It depends how painful. I can understand the urge to stop. But having said that, I've never, ever, ever stopped in a marathon.
Today's the day.
I don't think
you
so.
Said it.
I don't
said
think
it.
So. Come what may.
Come what may. Come on, mate.
Get him.
Get Stuart Lee.
I don't need sweets, bruv.
There's a little kid who looked like Stuart Lee, and he said to you, Paul, come on.
Come
you
on.
Can do this.
Yeah.
That's got to count, doesn't it?
You can do this.
Give it an hour, and that's going to make us cry. Now, you make him cry. I have stopped completely and walked.
There's nothing wrong with that.
In marathons.
I'm not saying
that. I always run through a stitch. I think it's pure strictness.
I'm not saying...
Strictness. It's one of those things that I just, years ago,
whoa,
I told myself
bang,
that the stitch kind of doesn't count.
Right.
So I just ignore it.
Yeah, there can be a
it's very Mickey
painful.
D, you know, it's like, just pain.
Input, output. Weakness leaving the body in the form of a stitch.
Because it hurts. Because your lungs are having trouble with the physical exploits.
That was the most pathetic musical accompaniment I've ever seen.
What happened? Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, that was good.
Morris!
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 Morris! Kids, boom, 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 boom.
That was some Morris dancers running a man called Morris, by the way.
I'm high-fiving everyone now.
Yeah. You just slapped an old woman in the face.
Yeah. Quick elbow.
I'll high-five anything.
Ooh, ooh. Boom, boom, boom,
just
boom.
Battered a bowl of jelly babies out of a man's
I actually did. Boom.
I got a challenge for you. When we get to this footbridge, covered in people just watching.
Right.
We're going to get them all cheering really loud.
Yeah.
You ready for
we
that?
We can do that, yeah.
We're in Rotherhithe, by the way.
Yeah, we can do that.
It's a nice ongoing thing. For the sake of the record, working out where the hell we are.
Yeah. Can we do Rotherhithe?
Go on, Bear Band.
Hey.
I think they were foxes, actually. That's good. Can you hear that drum? That's great.
Yeah, it's good when he got
that. That's a little kid giving it a bit of snare. Okay. Here comes that bridge.
Then what?
He's cheering. She's cheering.
Nice.
A lot of individual support coming now. But here comes the bridge. They've got signs.
Not yet.
They're watching
not
us.
Yet.
Go at the lamppost.
One,
3, 2, 1.
On the bridge!
Bridge! Yes, sir!
The big thing will be whether, for me mentally, whether I can just hold it together.
Yeah.
Because like in that long run the other week, when I lost it, I just really lost it.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like
yeah.
12-minute miles by the end. Just completely gone, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's a mental state, really.
Absolutely. But equally, if that's where we go, that's where we go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know that you've got that in mind, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you have to get your head down and dig out that last. Because, like, you got your 17 to your 20 in here. You know what I mean? That last 3 miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever happens 20 to 23,
yeah.
For both of us,
yeah.
That's what happens.
That's what happens, yeah. Let's do it.
It's still early days. Well, then we're closing in on halfway now.
No, we are. We're getting a little bit closer.
And building up to the excitement on this stage just builds up steadily and steadily to Tower Bridge and then hits a peak.
Yeah.
That'd be about the next.
Then you're thrown out again.
Yeah. I'd love to drink this water. I'm going to do it. I can't.
Can you not drink it?
No, I can do it. It's just hitting the microphones. Here we go.
You haven't done it till you've done it.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
well made.
Yeah.
But we have nearly.
You haven't run the old way till you run the old way.
You're being wise again.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta be in it to do it.
All right, Yoda. Do it. You haven't.
You're not gonna.
Until
you're have. Not gonna win it, but you can do it. And everyone who does it wins it.
To a murdered wife to husband.
Go on, mate. Go on. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's finish this. Finish him.
Finish.
This is where.
Let's take it home. Come on.
Oh, I'll
come
on with it.
Come on, Mexico. Let's do it.
Go on, Parkinson's.
Let's do this.
Nearly there now.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I saw a guy clutching 2 pints of lager here once. I nearly grabbed him out of his hands. That's Big Ben. Yep. We've turned right.
We're on our way in.
Coming through Parliament Square.
We're on our way in.
That leafiness up ahead of St. James's Park.
Getting closer.
Hey! That was a good shout.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Come on, Rob. Come on, Paul. Churchill on the left. Whitehall on the right.
Bro, that stage road, we're near the finish, but we never will.
Yeah.
Cheers, bruv!
We will.
Yeah.
Going past Michelle Rue's restaurant, but...
Tidy style.
He didn't invite us this year, so...
Cheers, fellas, thanks for that. Keeping it tidy, shuffling through. Yep.
Yep. Yards yep, rather than miles now.
Yep. Push. Whoop. Yeah. This is great. Yes!
Policeman.
Here we go. Push.
1K to go, the sign says.
Yeah.
And we're past
doable.
It.
That is very doable.
We're passing that K.
Two and a half laps.
Now. Yep. Birdcage walk.
Yep.
Less than a kilometre to go.
Doing well.
Looking good.
Looking good, mate.
Yes. Spider-Man up ahead.
Oh, yeah.
At least I hope he is.
Some people getting a bit of a burst on. It's about this time last year, two years ago, I overtook the sub-3 pacer.
Yeah.
That was a big...
That's a good moment.
Big moment. Yeah.
I honestly think that running with you, these 200-metre signs can't quite telescope as far apart as they sometimes
800,
do.
Oh, yeah. 800. That's two laps.
800, kids.
Seb Coe did this in 1 minute and 41 seconds.
Yeah, let's not do that.
In Rieti in 1981.
Bottleneck, road crossers.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. Here we go. Smoothing it out. Smooth finish.
Yep.
Finishing strong.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, we're doing well.
I was thinking of New York.
Oh, yeah. Only on your big finish.
Much more broken than this, yeah. And I was going well by now, so
yeah.
We can do this.
Yeah.
St. James Park, looking lovely in Leaf.
Hey!
Come
looking
on.
Good, mate. Let's do it, let's take it in.
I'm trying not to read these signs out till we get to them.
600, yeah.
You just did it, you did it, you said it. I thought Spider-Man was more slight than this. 600 metres to go.
600 to go. Here we go. Lap and a half.
Go on, Spidey. There's a camera coming up. Oh, yeah. Look through the trees. I can see Buckingham Palace.
Here we go.
400 metres to go means we're about to pass 26.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marshals.
Thank you, Marshal. Thank you, all the Marshals.
Every last Marshal.
Yeah.
Cold breeze feels good. We're turning right.
400
metres to go.
Right. This is a nice bit. This is a good bit.
Well, it's a bit late, the nice bit. No, it's been lovely. It's been great.
This is good. I do like turning the corner.
Yeah. This bridge is the 26-mile bridge.
Here we go. Into the finish. Here we go. Push. Smooth finish. We're gliding in. It's a glide. Yeah. It's never too late.
Morning,
this
Queen.
Great. You turn the corner, it's wicked. Yeah. This is great. 200.
Can you see the finish line yet?
No, not yet.
Not quite.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah. I feel
not
sorry
yet.
For our Spider-Man.
Not yet.
200 metres to go. There's the finish line.
Nice. Yeah.
Keep left.
Yeah. Brilliant. Are we putting on a wee burst of pace? Like, not massive, but there's a suggestion of an increase in tempo.
I want that. We dwarves are very good over short distances. Feel good.
Yeah,
pace feels
great.
Good. Loosens
feels
up the
great.
Legs.
Feels great.
That parkrun practice.
Yeah. This is brilliant. Oh. Oh. Come on, mate. Let's do it.
Keep it left.
Looking good. Well played,
Colin.
Let's
coming
this.
In. Heading for the finish line over.
Yeah, this is it.
Where is he?
Good fun.
Ah.
Good fun. What a laugh.
Well, yeah.
What a grace.
Well done, everyone.
Well played, fella.
Well done, compadre.
Yeah, good fun, mate.
Yeah.
Good fun. Someone's been sick. Really sick over there. He's had sweet corn.
I think there's a unicorn puking there.
Yeah.
Quite literally. Some guys with the green caps missed us there.
Yeah.
They
Let's
wanted to interview
water.
Us. They
Let's
missed
get
us.
Some water.
Let's wrap this up.
We should have.
Hey!
Well played, fella.
Bloody hell. Well
yeah, good fun. Yeah, good laugh.
Nicely done. We got him before the rain comes. We're feeling good. I think, well, we don't know yet. We've got to check.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, nicely done.
Of course, let's get our medals on for the
thing. Yeah, come on, medals.
There you go, mate. Take care. Thank you so much. Cheers, love. Thank you. Cheers. Come on, that's it.
Right, let's get out of here.
Let's do it.
Thanks, everyone.
So, Rob. Yeah, tell you what. I forgot how totally engulfing the event is. It just
I think
takes
it's important to share
aligned,
that. I really felt that, you know...
It wasn't like a... I thought it might be a platform for loads of really funny stories and a range of subjects about loads of different things, but in fact, it was just... It took everything, didn't it?
It's a process of stripping away and stripping away and stripping away.
Yeah.
And then I would love to hear that last episode, but it's like a sound picture, really, isn't it?
A bit of a sound cloud, but good fun.
Absolutely.
Good fun. Are you going to get a photo, are you?
We love you, listeners.
No, we absolutely.
Other runners.
It was great.
And, thank you, Paul Tonkinson.
Yeah, it was great.
It was special. It was easy.
Yeah, it was a lot easier.
It went easy.
It's a lot easier in company without a shadow of a doubt.
And that was that. More funny, runny stuff in 2020. This is Steve, the Runcom podcast editor, wishing you a very happy new year.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.